the typical view of the outside world is to see their differences, especially their ethnicity, and to believe that because you're ethnically this or ethnically that, therefore this is who you are. And I think before we decide who somebody is ethnically, we need to look at them as a human.
That's Susan Meissner, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Susan Meissner is a former managing editor of a weekly newspaper and an award-winning columnist. Her previous novels include A Fall of Marigolds, Secrets of a Charmed Life, Stars Over Sunset Boulevard, A Bridge Across the Ocean, and As Bright as Heaven. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, The Last Year of the War. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, tell us about this latest novel. What is the story about?
Well, it centers around a woman who begins the story in her 80s, and she's going to take the reader back in time to when she was a teenager during World War II. She's an American teenager. She's born in Davenport, Iowa, but she's born to German immigrant parents. And when America enters the war, suspicion falls on the dad that he's a Nazi sympathizer. He's not, but he can't prove his loyalty because that's something you have in your heart and no one can see into the heart. In any case, he's interned for the duration of the war. His family joins him in a family internment camp in Crystal City, Texas, with several thousand other German Americans and Japanese Americans and a handful of Italian Americans. And in the last year of the war, this family is repatriated to Germany in a prisoner exchange, which is something that actually happened to about 800 German Americans in 1945.
Most of us have heard about the Japanese internment camps, but not so much about what happened to Germans. So how did you find out about this story and how did this inspire the novel?
Yeah, I had never heard of it either. I live on the West Coast. I'm really familiar with what happened to the Japanese American communities. 120,000 that were forcibly relocated and about 30,000 were then interned for the duration of the war in the Japanese American community. With the German Americans, I had never heard that any were interned at all. It's lesser known. And I read about it in a book called The Train to Crystal City, which is a nonfiction work by a woman who's from San Antonio and did extensive research on this camp in Texas because it's only an hour south of San Antonio. And she felt it was a story that deserved light thrown on it. And I believe so, too, because it's a story of humanity. And I think anytime you have humans involved in a story, especially in wartime, it's a story that needs to be told.
This story is told through the eyes of the main character, Elise. And as you mentioned, this is starting out in the present and then takes the readers back in time. So the story covers both her present life and her experiences as a teenager. Why did you decide to tell the story in this way?
There are a couple of reasons. One, I think when we have a little bit of a footprint in the present time, you know, the reader's able to more easily, I think, dial into the story because it's current in some ways. And then as the reader's taken back in time, they've already met the character in real time, and now she's taking you back kind of on a ticket to the past. And I think in some ways that helps the reader identify with the person. It also shows, I think, the reader a little hint of how this person was changed by their experiences. Even though my character is fictional, a lot of what happened to her happened to actual people. So I think as we begin the story in the present day, we see there was a transformation here. Something happened to this girl, and we see it in her adult life and the impact that it had on her, both good and bad.
Well, this novel also features a relationship, a friendship between Elise and Mariko. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Close, Mariko. Yep.
Mariko, okay. So what can you tell us about that friendship and how it plays into this novel?
Well, I wanted to show that people are people. We're human before we're anything else. And when Elise gets to this camp, she's 14 years old. She feels like her identity is being stripped from her layer by layer because she feels like she's just an average American teenager. And really, that's what she is, but that's not how she's being treated. And she meets a Japanese-American girl who is just like her, except she's not. You know, she's the daughter of Japanese immigrant parents, and yet they have so much in common. You know, they like the same movies. They wear the same clothes. They like Twinkies. They have dreams for their future. And they're both born in America, so they're both American citizens. So really, they have so much in common. But the typical view of the outside world is to see their differences, especially their ethnicity, and to believe that because you're ethnically this or ethnically that, therefore, this is who you are. And I think before we decide who somebody is ethnically, we need to look at them as a human.
Well, you mentioned the inspiration for this novel and this book that you came across, but I know that was just the beginning. Tell us about how you went about researching this novel.
Well, Crystal City Internment Camp doesn't really exist anymore. The land is still there, south of San Antonio, but all that's left are a few cement foundations and some interpretive panels. So the camp itself is gone, but thankfully we still have live witnesses, the children of those parents. Many of them are still living. And I met several. One, in fact, is a man who lives on Long Island. He's in his 80s. He was a child when he was there with very vivid memories of the camp. And he's written about it. He's been interviewed about it. And he was my go-to person whenever I had a question. And other people who lived at the camp wrote down their memories before they passed, or they wrote their memoir and they're still living and can talk about it. So I love the idea that people are realizing that if you write down your story, then you leave that literary legacy that sometimes geographically there's no place where your memory exists anymore except in you.
So what surprised you the most as you were doing your research?
I think what surprised me the most is even today we still tend to think of people as almost like little countries. Like if we decide that everybody from North Korea can't be trusted, that's a blanket statement that can't possibly be true, because until you've met everybody in North Korea, you just don't know. And so to look at somebody and say, this is who you are because of where you're from, this is how you think because of where you're from, is just the wrong way to begin any conversation with someone. You need to know the person before you can know how they think, how they feel, what they love, what they fear. And that, to me, hasn't changed. It happened there in 1940, the years of the war, 1942 to 1946, and it's still happening today, almost 80 years later.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because that obviously deals a lot with stereotyping and profiling, and we still see that going on today. So what kind of message do you think this book has for today and how it speaks to what's happening in our contemporary times?
Well, to be honest with you, I hope that the reader will take away whatever they're willing to take away from this book. If there's a message inside it, I want the reader to discover it on their own so that the book speaks to them rather than me speaking to them. Because my main takeaway for me anyway, what I got from it is people are people before they're anything else. And that was my takeaway when I was writing it. If it's the takeaway that readers get, I think that would be great. They might get something deeper than that. They might get something less deep than that. But I hope that what it does, if anything, is that it opens their eyes to how they think about people.
Susan, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
Well, that is a terrific question. You know, it might be Mariko, maybe because Elise, I spent so much time with that character, you know, every day for a year. I feel like I know her. But Mariko, who had such an influence on her, those girls were only together for 18 months at the camp, and then they were separated, and they lost contact with each other and were separated for the next 60-some years. And yet Elise felt that friendship was so important to her that she spent her last dying breath was that she would see Mariko again. And that, to me, is interesting. Like, who are the people that have that kind of influence on us that we hang on to them, you know, years and years and years after we've last seen them? I think that kind of friendship is precious and special, and I'd like to have a conversation with her about that.
What's next for you? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on a book that doesn't have a title at the moment, but it's going to take place in San Francisco around 1906. So yes, there's going to be an earthquake, but it's not going to be an earthquake book. Rather, it's going to be a book about people again. My stories really are always about people and the relationships we have with other people. But the earthquake's going to figure in. And so I have three female characters whose lives are going to collide on the day of the earthquake. It's going to shake things up and bring them together. And we're going to see why. You know, why do they have so much in common that the earthquake and all that happens that day would draw these three women together. And so that should come out sometime in late 2020.
Well, Susan, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Truly my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Susan Meisner's latest novel is The Last Year of the War. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to conversations on your phone or tablet, and you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.